This is Market Plus, one of three podcasts from the program. Please subscribe today. This is Josh Bittner saying thank you.
This is the Friday, December 11, 2020 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now, Naomi Bloom and Matthew Bennett. We've been trying to get you two together in studio, but the darn weather has caused us the problem. But at least now we have this option, so thank you for dialing in and showing what's going on there at home. Matt, I'm going to start with you. You both can take a quick take here on the cotton market. We're going to get to hogs and then all the viewer questions. Got great ones again. This cotton thing just keeps trending higher and higher, and then there's this WASDE report that all of a sudden happened. What's going on?
Well, I mean, not only was U.S. production dropped by around a million bales, but world as well went down a couple million tons. And so, you know, I mean, essentially the way I see this cotton market, I mean, it's the highest we've been in 6-8 months, you know. And so you got to ask yourself moving forward, what's the cotton market going to try to do here? And I think it's trying to stake its claim to stay relevant, because I think it's going to want to try to hold on to a few acres moving forward. I mean, you know, the last couple, 3 years, I think I may have even mentioned this last time, the acreage battle was more of a hot potato game where people said, I don't want the acres, I'm going to drive my price lower, that way you have to take them, you know. And but I think we may actually get into a little bit of an acreage battle. I think cotton's going to try to hold on to a few acres. Obviously, we, you know, we've got a lot of different people that are trying to hold on to acres, but I think cotton's trying to do its job as well.
Well, that leads me, I guess you kind of open up the acreage worm can. Let's go there. Naomi, do you think cotton is going to be victim of acres? Is wheat going to be a victim? I mean, they both rallied this week, but that's just 1 week in time. So who's winning this acreage battle when we get and see that report come January?
Soybeans continue to win. Corn needs to get caught up a little bit higher in price. The soybean corn ratio is still a little bit out of whack. And yes, cotton is at risk of losing some acres, along with spring wheat at risk of losing some acres because of this higher soybean price. So I agree with Matt. Cotton, you know, it's been in a beautiful uptrend since late April after the initial COVID fall off. Our exports are actually at 76% of USDA projections. So export sales have been strong. The 5-year average is more like 63%. So we're ahead of schedule. And with the dollar staying low, and I think China trying to get all of their mills and clothing factories back up and running, there's demand there. So how high can cotton go? I don't know right now. We're really trying to understand where the demand is. But the USDA did lower production, not only in the United States on the report, but also Pakistan and India. So here we're starting to see again this global scenario of the weather isn't perfect this year. And heading into 2021, there's a lot of weather to watch everywhere around the world.
All right, Matt, I'm going to throw the control room off completely here because I'm going to go out of order of the questions. But it's another acreage question, and it's actually a holdover from last week when Shane in Bloomfield, Nebraska, we've had lots of acre questions over the last few weeks. And Shane asked us last week, and I thought it was so good we'd keep it again. If prices stay about where they are for commodities, will we see record acres planted? And you can answer that for any commodity. And where could prices be supported in a high acre and above to normal demand picture?
That's a really good question. And first of all, yes, we could see record acres. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here. Not only has profitability surged, but let's be honest. I mean, the dry weather has allowed people to get all the fall work they ever would have wanted to get done. And so, you know, one thing I will say is this. From a profitability standpoint, it sure looks to me like the soybean complex is trying to do everything it can to buy soybean acres. And so I agree with Naomi there. But at the same time, I'm talking to certain areas that are telling me more anhydrous has gone on this fall than what they've seen in a long time. So are there swing acres out there? There's always swing acres out there. Totally agree with that. Are there less swing acres for 2021 than what there's been the last 2 years? Absolutely, in my opinion, there are less acres. And so that might make a little bit of an acreage battle fairly intense. What price levels could you go down to and still have record acreage? You know, I think that if you stay above, for instance, last year's spray insurance price, I mean, I know Naomi said something about $4, and I agree with that. But I mean, if you stay in the 390s maybe on corn, I still think your producers are going to say, you know what, I want to go ahead and plant quite a bit of corn. You stay above $10 on beans, you better believe there's going to be a lot of acres of beans.
And Naomi, you're shaking your head saying, yep.
Well, I just agree. I mean, every call, when I'm calling out to my clients, you know, I'm hearing constant noise in the background. I'm like, what are you doing? Put on anhydrous. What are you doing? Putting in tile. And then in the fall field work, it is gangbusters, and they're so excited. And then, but I think to Matt's point, there is a lot of anhydrous going on. And so corn might really be the one that surprises us, that maybe there's actually going to be a potentially larger amount of corn out there to be planted in the spring than what we're expecting. So it's really important to get a feel for it. I'm going to be calling my clients who also sell seed and try to get a little bit nosy and see what's going on out there. But it'll be an interesting spring for sure.
You just got to find out what's going on. That's really good. All right, Matt, I shortchanged you when we came to the hog market at the end of the broadcast portion. And I also told Naomi that I would discuss this one, so I want to flush this just a tiny little bit. And it does play a little bit into corn and soybeans when it comes to being used for feed. In China this week, another report, and we'd heard this before, I call them a hog Hilton, these high-rise hog facilities that are going in replacing of all of these background backyard hog lots that we had for years over there. They're getting to be a little more efficient. Is that going to take a bite out of the U.S. pork market when it comes to shipping things to China, when it comes to pork? And is that going to be offset by they're going to need more feed?
Well, I think you just answered your questions pretty much right there. I mean, there's no doubt that it's going to have an impact. You know, 84,000 sows on that 121 building operation that they were talking about, with over 2 million hogs turned out every year. And that's just an incredible operation. Obviously, they worked really hard to be ready from a phytosanitary standpoint, but to me, that scares the daylights out of me with that size of an operation if you start to have an issue with ASF or something along those lines. But one thing that is really exciting about that, you know, is that they're going to need a heck of a lot of feed. I mean, bottom line, they're going to need a ton of feed. Whenever they're boiling through this year, I mean, the estimate is that they're going to use 25 million tons more corn than what they're going to produce. That's something that's been going on for the last 4 or 5 years. And so I think that's going to continue. If anything, it's going to increase whenever you start to ramp up hog production the way that they are. So it's pretty exciting for us as far as exporting corn and beans. If I was an individual hog producer, I guess I'd be a little bit concerned. There's no question.
All right. Naomi, anything different to add on that?
I think Matt took hit the nail on the head. Our exports, of course, this year were right around 2 million tons, so fantastic. And that's what has been keeping our hog prices and market supported overall. I do expect to see that dwindle going into 2021 as their hog production facilities come on board. It's going to be such an exciting thing to monitor. But I think ultimately for the first part of 2021, they're still going to be needing to import some pork from us. So I don't see that the pork demand just falling out of bed here in the United States. But going forward and down the road, producers do need to be mindful that some of that demand is going to be reduced. And hopefully we see Mexico or South Korea pick up some of the slack and do some more importing. But that is a lot of hogs over there.
It is. You know what we also have a lot of? The two of you agreeing on everything. I mean, you guys see everything pretty much standard on some stuff. We like that. I'm not trying to say we need adversarial television or something, but that's good to see that you're on the same page on things. I want to get to cattle market here, Naomi, for a minute. Cody and Adrian, Minnesota, asked us via Facebook, what do you see with the cattle market time after time getting hit and the China imports are up so much? So is China interested in our beef? Because traditionally that's not been a thing. Are they interested in our beef?
Well, they always did the back door through Hong Kong. That's how they got our beef. So the demand, I think, has always been there. But now just officially on the books, they actually have a category and they are officially importing some product. If this value of the dollar continues to go lower, I do think that you're going to continue to see China import more beef. Just because once their economy gets humming again here after COVID, they'll have more money to spend on different types of proteins. So I think that demand is going to be there. Just in the short term, our beef market continues to just be a little bit stressed because of the less holiday demand for the short term and also just the ample production that's here for now. But again, like we were talking about on the show, deferred cattle contracts are going to be a whole nother story. I'm really excited for second and third quarter cattle futures.
Okay. I'm going to speed things up a little bit and give you each a chance to take a crack at a couple questions. Boyce in Montpelier, North Dakota, Matt, is asking, other people on this show have said there is risk in the soybean market. If you share that opinion, is that risk in the old crop beans, the 21 beans, or both?
It's in both. I mean, bottom line, whenever you rally the old crop market, $3, that's a great rally. Do I think that we could go higher? There are things that could happen to allow us to go higher. No questions asked. And I don't want to talk around the subject. What I want to say is this. The higher the prices go, the more your risk increases. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so as a producer, what advantage do you have from being bullish at $12 beans or $11.60 beans, whatever it might be? I mean, we would have given our left arm to see prices like this in late July. And so, so there's definite risk in old crop soybeans. New crop soybeans, again, as Naomi was talking about earlier, you're talking about $10.50 beans. If you take that times just a typical yield for producers, I mean, don't lose sight of the fact that we almost had a record yield nationwide. What's that mean? A lot of people had a record soybean crop on their operation. And so what kind of profit margin is there at 10.50 basis the board beans? Oh, there's significant profit. And so I do think that there's downside in both markets potentially. So as a producer, you've got to recognize that. You've got to understand that. And then you've got to do whatever you have in your toolbox or expand your toolbox to figure out a way to manage that risk, because nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Naomi. Oh, go ahead, Naomi.
Well, I just want to build on that. A lot of producers right now are complacent because the market is truly supportive. Fundamentals are supportive. And so now here we're at the point. So back in, you know, somewhere we were like, oh, prices are never going to go higher ever again. And now we're at the point, oh, prices are never going to fall ever again. And so just when we have that, you know, sentiment in the marketplace, you need to, with this market, be aware of anything that can make the market price fall or for no reason, or what could take us higher, and manage both sides of that scenario. There's upside to manage. There is potential risk to the downside to manage. Sit down, understand if you're going to be planting more beans next year, then you need to start locking in those sales because of the value that's there that Matt just talked about. So,
what if it's a new plateau? I mean, how many times have you heard that, Naomi?
Yeah.
We'll never go below $10 again. Sell, please.
I'll just bite my tongue.
Yes. Okay.
All right. I appreciate your time, Matthew Bennett, Naomi Bloom. Thank you so very much. And they did kind of answer a couple of questions, like Dan in Omaha, Cindy in Illinois, and also Brent and Clemmy, Matt and Amherst. You didn't get your questions on, but these two did a great job of answering it. Thank you both. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
That will do it for the installment of Market Plus. But next week, we'll look at the rush on Christmas trees across the country, and market analyst Arlen Suderman will join us to break down the commodity markets. I'm Paul Yeager. Thank you so very much for watching, listening, or reading. Have a great week.